My wife.
Andrew, yeah. Yes.
My father-in-law, Fleming's feet.
Ja, og min kone og min svigerfar og Flemings fødder.
Ja.
Ja.
Joke not landed.
Joken ikke landet. Nej.
All right. Let's pray.
Let's be some.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Kære himmelske far.
You are so wonderful to us.
Du er så god imod os.
You give us everything that we need.
Du giver os det vi har brug for.
All good gifts come from you, Lord.
Alle gode gaver kommer fra dig.
And just let us be prepared in our hearts and our minds for your word today.
Lad os være forberedt i vores hjerter og i vores tanker på dit ord i dag.
And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen.
Og vi bær det i din søn Jesu navn. Amen.
All right. So I am a huge fan of history.
Jeg er en stor historiefan.
I have been for my entire life.
Jamen, hele mit liv.
Grew up reading a ton of books about like Ernest Shackleton and the Titanic.
Min unge år læste jeg blandt andet om Ernest Shackleton og Titanic.
The American Indians, all of the wars that America has been in.
De amerikanske indianere, den oprindelige befolkning og de krige.
But it wasn't until I was in my 20s when I received the best teacher in history that I have ever got.
Men det var ikke før jeg var i mine 20'er, at jeg fik den bedste historielærer, som jeg nogensinde har haft.
I had a friend introduce me to a podcast.
Min ven introducerede mig til en podcast.
I know that's very millennial of me, but trust me.
Ja, det er meget millennial-agtigt, men stol på mig.
If anybody's looking for a podcast, you guys should check out Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Ja, hvis I er historieinteresseret, så tjek Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah.
Hardcore History.
It's been one of the greatest podcasts since the beginning of podcasts. He started in 2005.
Siden podcastens begyndelse, så har der en af de bedste podcasts startet i 2005.
And what I love about his podcast is that, and I'm quoting him, he says, I'm fascinated with the extremes of the human experience.
Ja, og en af de ting, der er interessant ved hans betragtning er, at han siger, at han er fascineret ved ekstremerne i den menneskelige erfaring.
And I find this to be a very empathetic focus to history and to studying it.
Og han går meget empatisk til i sit fokus til menneskers historie.
And I also think for you because my wife hates history.
Og min tanke er, min kone er ikke så hader historien.
There she is. You hate history.
Du er ikke interesseret. Du hader historien.
But I think that's because it's so easy to just look at history as the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why.
Men det er også fordi det meget ofte så bliver historie reduceret til hvem, hvad, hvor og hvornår og hvorfor.
But when you like Dan Carlin have a more empathetic approach to learning.
Men hvis man ligesom Dan Carlin har en mere empatisk tilnærmelse til lærdom og historie.
It makes history and history in general a real joy to study.
Så gør det pludselig historie til en glæde at studere.
Because you're focused on the real life human experiences that these people that you're studying went through.
Ja, fordi man fokuserer på virkelig menneskers levede liv og hvad de gik igennem.
You know, how they were feeling, how they might have responded, what was going on in the minds of these people.
Hvordan de følte, hvordan de reagerede, hvad de tænkte.
And so when I approach our passage this morning, I wanted to, you know, kind of put myself in the position of somebody experiencing this.
Og så vi nærmer os dagens skriftsted fra Johannes 5, så ønsker jeg, at vi skal gå til den empatisk og prøve at forestille os, hvordan det opleves at være i den her situation.
So we're going to be looking at one of Jesus's miracles today.
Vi skal se på en af Jesu mirakler i dag.
So what would be our response to a miracle today?
Så hvad vil vores respons være, hvis vi oplevede et mirakel i dag?
So my wife.
min kone,
shared a story with me that I mean, anything if not miraculous.
Ja. Hun delte en historie med mig, som hun nåede var mirakuløs.
So let's just kind of put ourselves in the shoes of somebody witnessing a miracle and figure out how we would respond to that, okay?
Lad os prøve i dag at putte os i skoen på nogen, som er øjenvidne til mirakel, og også det der med, hvordan vil vi reagere i det.
So this story takes place in Florida.
Den her historie foregår i Florida.
Raise your hands if you've been to Florida.
Hvem har været i Florida?
Okay, a lot of people. It's a vacation destination.
Ja, feriested, rejsested.
And if you haven't been to Florida, Florida is a wild place.
Florida er et vildt sted.
You know, they've got shark attacks.
De hajangreb har de.
Alligator attacks.
Alligatorangreb.
And even more dangerous, Floridians.
Og mere farligt er det, de kalder floridianere.
And there's always a lot of crazy stories coming out of Florida.
Der kommer altid en masse skøre historier ud af Florida.
Miraculous stories, if you will.
Mirakuløse historier.
And so this guy was found on a beach in Florida.
Den her fyr, han blev fundet på en strand i Florida.
He was extremely sunburned.
Han var ekstremt solskoldet.
And when the police who found him asked him what he was doing out there.
Og da politiet spurgte ham, hvad han gjorde derude.
He said he'd been kidnapped by a pod of dolphins.
Så sagde han havde været kidnappet af en pod of a group of en gruppe af delfiner.
And he was asked to help them build structures 40 feet below the surface.
Og han blev spurgt om at bygge strukturer omkring 15 meter under havets overflade.
The dolphin in charge of him, whose name was Gerald.
Og delfinen Gerald, som var ligesom havde ansvaret for ham.
And you don't question Gerald.
Stiller ikke spørgsmålstegn til Gerald.
Yeah, he was having him build up these structures for you know, the dolphins to live
fik,
in.
Fik ham til at bygge de her strukturer til delfinerne.
And then he began to draw diagrams in the sand, which the police said were so detailed it concerned them.
Ja, og så begyndte han at tegne diagrammer i sandet, der var så detaljeret, at politiet blev bekymret.
So?
What
do we think?
Hvad tænker vi?
True story.
Sand historie. Ja.
Crazy.
Ja.
Drugs. Florida's got a lot of meth.
Ja. Ja. Florida har masser af amfetamin.
Yeah, so like something outside of our categories, we don't understand it at all.
Det er helt uden for kategori, vi forstår det slet ikke.
So, you know, that I think the and we'll see from the response of the guy. I think this is a normal response to something miraculous, like
det, og det er jo en normal respons til noget utroligt eller mirakuløst.
And yeah, so we're doing this series in John's gospel, right?
Så vi er i gang med den her serie over Johannes evangeliet.
And these miracles are meant to be signs.
Og de her mirakler, syv mirakler er ligesom tegn.
Yeah, later in the letter John says that Jesus did many miracles.
Ja, senere skriver Johannes at Jesus lavede mange mirakler.
But the ones he chose to put into his book are signs. They symbolize something.
Men de mirakler Johannes valgte at putte ned i hans bog var tegn.
They signify what Jesus is and what he came to do.
De fortæller noget om hvem Jesus er og hvad han kom for at gøre.
All right. So let's read our passage today.
Lad os læse.
If you have your Bibles, it's John 5.
Hvis I har jeres bibler, så er det Johannes 5.
I was told to let people flip to pages, but you guys don't have pages.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So I'll read it, and then Andrew will read it in Danish. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades, which is like a porch. with like an awning over it. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn. As there was a crowd in the place afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working."
Yeah, I agree. Derefter var der en af jødernes fester, og Jesus drog op til Jerusalem. Ved forporten i Jerusalem er der en dam, som på hebraisk kaldes Bethesda. Den har 5 søjlegange. I dem lå der en mængde syge, blinde, lam og krøbling, som ventede på, at der skulle komme bevægelse i vandet. Så springer vi lidt frem. Der lå en mand, som havde været syg i 38 år. Da Jesus så ham ligge der og vidste, at han allerede havde været der i lang tid, sagde han til ham, "Vil du være rask?" Den syge svarede, "Herre, jeg har ikke et menneske til at hjælpe mig ned i dammen, når vandet er bragt i oprør, og mens jeg er på vej, når en anden i for mig." Jesus sagde til ham, "Rejs dig, tag din båre og gå." Straks blev manden rask, og han tog sin båre og gik omkring. Men det var sabbat den dag. Derfor sagde jøderne til ham, som var blevet helbredt, "Det er sabbat, og det er ikke tilladt dig at bære din båre." Han svarede dem, "Det var ham, som gjorde mig rask, der sagde til mig, 'Tag din båre og gå.'" De spurgte ham, "Hvem var den mand, der sagde til dig, tag den og gå?" Men han, som var blevet helbredt, vidste ikke, hvem det var, for Jesus var gået sin vej på grund af menneskemængden på stedet. Senere mødte Jesus ham på tempelpladsen og sagde til ham, "Nu er du blevet rask, synd ikke mere, for at der ikke skal ske der noget værre." Manden gik tilbage og fortalte jøderne, at det var Jesus, der havde gjort ham rask. Derfor gav jøderne sig til at forfølge Jesus, fordi han havde gjort dette på en sabbat. Men Jesus sagde til dem, "Min far arbejder stadig, og jeg arbejder også."
So this morning I want to talk about 3 things.
Så i dag vil jeg gerne tale om 3 ting.
It's a good sermon, 3.
En god tale har 3 punkter. 3 punkter.
We're going to talk about the pool, the man, and the Sabbath controversy.
Yeah. Så vi skal tale om poolen eller hvad skal man sige, dammen, Bethesdas dam og manden og så hele sabbatspørgsmålet.
And I think that all of these things kind of communicate the same thing, so even though it's 3 things, it's really 1 thing.
Ja. Og alle de 3 punkter kommunikerer egentlig de samme ting, så 3 i 1.
So this pool.
Den her dam.
Very interestingly, they found this pool.
De har jo fundet den her dam.
Archaeologists discovered it in, I want to say, the 1920s.
Arkeologer fandt den her dam, Bethesdas dam, i 1920'erne.
And before this passage was actually a huge criticism in kind of the more modern scholarship.
Ja. Yeah. Og indtil det blev fundet, så var der mange af de moderne forskere, der sådan kritiserede den her beretning.
Yeah, this passage would have been used to kind of discredit the Bible.
Og det ville blive brugt til at kritisere Bibelens troværdighed.
Scholars would say that, you know, This place doesn't exist.
Den her sted eksisterer ikke.
They would have, you know, the Jews would have never built something with 5 sides. This is not right.
Jøderne ville ikke have bygget en sådan en søjlegang med 5 søjler.
And we don't know where it is, so clearly this story must be untrue.
Ja, så klart at den her historie må være fiktion.
But they found it.
Men de fandt det.
And the whole controversy about it, its shape had to do with the fact that there were two pools.
Og hele kontroversen omkring formen var at der var egentlig to damme.
Yeah, so I think that kind of begs the question, does it really matter if it's true?
Og det minder os alle om det spørgsmål. Gør det en forskel, hvis det er sandt? Eller ej?
Does it matter if what happens in this book is true?
Gør det en forskel, om det, der er skrevet om i den her bog, er sandt eller ej?
Does it matter if you can trust the Bible as truth?
Gør det en forskel, om man kan stole på Bibelen som sand?
Well, I say it does matter.
Jeg vil sige, at det gør en forskel.
Because if Christianity was like all other religions in the world,
fordi hvis kristendommen var ligesom alle andre religioner i verden,
all of which say God saves the worthy,
som egentlig siger, at Gud frelser dem, der er værdige til at blive frelst.
You know, if you want the blessing, the salvation, you have to be worthy of it.
Så hvis du skal have en guddommelig velsignelse og frelse, så skal du være værdig til den.
You know, you got to live the right life.
Leve det rette liv.
You have to stand for the correct virtues.
Og stå for den rette moral.
You have to have the right character.
Have den rette karakter.
Yeah, that's the way that the world, aside from Jesus, expresses how you get saved, right?
Det er sådan, som de religioner, som I kender det, udtrykker deres position.
So, if that is the case, and Christianity is that way, it's like all other world religions.
Så hvis det er tilfældet, og kristendommen er også ligesom mængden,
it really wouldn't matter that this happened.
Så vil det ikke gøre en forskel, om det skete, det her skete eller ej.
Why?
Hvorfor?
Well, because you already have the blueprint, right?
Fordi man allerede har ligesom skabelonen eller mønster.
You have Jesus' life.
Du har Jesu liv.
You know all of the love that he has, the perfection.
Hans kærlighed, hans perfektion.
His death on the cross, hans the self-denial.
Hans død på korset, hans selvfornægtelse.
He forgives.
Han tilgiver.
So, if we're saved because we're worthy,
hvis vi bliver frelst og reddet fordi vi er værdige,
and this is how you're supposed to live, like Jesus as your example.
Og det er sådan her vi skal leves, og Jesus er vores eksempel.
Then you're good. You have the blueprint. You know what to do to be worthy.
Så er du fin. Så har du det helt fint. Du har modellen foran dig eller manualen.
And it is your worthy life that saves you.
Og det er dit værdige liv, der redder dig.
But Christianity isn't like that.
Men kristendommen er ikke sådan.
It's not like the other religions of the world.
Der er en forskel mellem kristendommen og verdensreligionerne.
Because we're not worthy.
Fordi vi ikke er værdige.
Jesus says, I come not to call those who think they are righteous.
Ja. Jeg er ikke kommet for dem som tror at de er retfærdige,
but only those who know that they are sinners.
Men kun dem som ved at de er syndere.
In Romans 4, Paul says that God comes to save and justify the ungodly.
Ja. I Romerbrevet 4 står der faktisk siger Paulus at Gud kommer for at frelse og retfærdiggøre de ugudelige.
And this sets up this idea of salvation by free grace.
Og det sætter op en frelse af fri nåde.
So it's not anything that we bring to the table.
Så det er ikke det som vi bringer til bordet.
It's not our contributions, our worthy life.
Vores bidrag og vores værdige liv.
But it's his life.
Men det er hans liv.
He did this.
Han gjorde det her.
This isn't just a tool to help us live.
Det her er ikke bare et værktøj til at hjælpe os til at leve.
It's telling us that We can't do this.
Det fortæller os, Bibelen fortæller os, at vi kan ikke gøre det her.
But he did.
Men han gjorde det.
So our worthiness has nothing to do with it.
Så vores værdighed har intet at gøre for vores fortjeneste i det her.
So instead of, you know, having to earn our place.
Men i stedet for at skulle fortjene vores plads.
And live under, you know, the crushing burden of having to be worthy.
Og leve under den knusende byrde i hele tiden at gøre os fortjent til at gøre os værdige.
We get to see that Jesus lived a perfect life already.
Så får vi lov til at se, at Jesus i forvejen har levet det perfekte liv, det fuldkomne liv.
On our behalf.
På vores vegne.
So this guy, let's reread verse 5.
Lad os genlæse vers 5.
One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years.
Der lå en mand som havde været syg i 38 år.
So we don't know anything really more about this guy.
Vi ved ikke mere om den her mand.
We don't know if how he became the way he was.
Vi ved ikke hvordan han blev sådan som han var.
Yeah, we don't know if he was 38 years old and he had been an invalid since birth.
Vi ved ikke om han har været invalid siden fødsel.
Or, you know, maybe he was in his 60s and he, you know, had an accident or an illness.
Eller han var i 60'erne og han havde været ude for en ulykke.
But this interaction says a lot.
Men den her samtale siger meget.
So let's read 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?"
Da Jesus så ham ligge der og vidste at han allerede havde været der i lang tid, sagde han til ham, "Vil du være rask?"
So this guy wasn't going out of his way looking for Jesus.
Så den her fyr ledte ikke efter Jesus.
Jesus comes to him.
Jesus kommer til ham.
This is a very important biblical principle that we're seeing.
Og her ser vi et meget vigtigt bibelsk princip.
If you ever find God,
hvis du nogensinde finder Gud,
it's because God came searching for you.
Så er det fordi Gud først begyndte at søge efter dig.
Yeah. It's not anything we're looking for.
Det er ikke noget vi bare sådan leder efter.
So Romans 3 says that no one is good.
Romerbrevet 3 siger der er ingen retfærdig.
And you know, I can kind of understand that.
Det kan jeg godt forstå. You
know, nobody's perfect.
Ingen er perfekt.
All right, so no one is good. Check Paul.
Okay, check Paulus. Jeg forstår det.
But then he says no one seeks God.
Ingen søger Gud.
I don't know. I just kind of, you know, that doesn't sound right.
Det føler jeg ikke rigtigt. Det lyder rigtigt.
What do you mean no one seeks God?
Hvad mener du med ingen søger Gud?
I think people, you know, they want to have an understanding of the supernatural, some purpose in their life, right?
Det virker til at der er mennesker som søger det åndelige, det religiøse, det spirituelle.
I mean, look at all the books about, you know, looking for answers.
Se alle de bøger der bliver skrevet hvor man søger efter svar.
So what is Paul saying when he says no one seeks God?
Så hvad er det Paulus siger når han siger eller mener når han siger at der er ingen der søger Gud?
I don't think it's a general no one seeks for God. Like people seek for God, right?
Ja. Men jeg tror ikke vi skal forstå det som sådan generelt at der er ingen der søger som så efter Gud, fordi der er folk der søger efter Gud.
He's saying no one seeks the true God as he's described in the Bible.
Men det som Paulus mener mere snævert, at ingen søger den sande Gud, som bliver åbenbaret i Bibelen.
Which we don't.
Hvilket vi ikke gør.
Because we hate it.
Fordi vi faktisk hader det.
Nobody's gonna open up the Old Testament and go, "Oh yeah, I like that."
Ingen vil åbne det gamle testamente og sige, "Oh, jeg elsker bare det der."
You know, the God coming out of the whirlwind and chastising Job.
Ja. Gud der kommer ud af en eller anden orkan og som tugter Job.
Who are you to question me?
Hvem er du til at stille mig spørgsmål?
I created you.
Jeg skabte dig.
We don't like that.
Det kan vi da ikke lide.
My mountain, Sinai. Don't even touch it.
Ja. Mit bjerg, Sinai-bjerget, I må overhovedet ikke røre ved bjerget.
No one seeks this God.
Ingen søger den Gud.
And that's because of a lie that Satan has put on our hearts.
Og det er på grund af en løgn, som Satan har puttet ind i vores hjerter.
The lie being that if you follow God,
som er at hvis du følger Gud,
he will destroy your happiness.
Så vil han ødelægge din lykke, din glæde.
This is on the deepest level of our hearts.
Og det ligger dybt i vores hjerter.
This is fundamentally who we are.
Det er fundamentalt det vi er.
We would never choose this.
Vi vil ikke vælge det her.
And if we did choose it, then we try to change it.
Og hvis vi vil vælge det selv, så vil vi prøve at forandre det.
Make it more pretty.
Gør det mere smukt.
More acceptable to our modern sensibilities.
Nemmere at acceptere i vores moderne følsomhed.
Unless,
med mindre,
God does something to our blindness.
Men mindre Gud gør noget til vores blindhed.
To our fear.
Gud gør noget ved vores frygt.
To our denial.
Gud gør noget ved vores benægtelse.
Jesus says, "No one can get to the Father but through me."
Ingen kan komme til Faderen bortset fra gennem mig.
No one can get to me unless the Father draws them.
Jesus siger, at ingen kan komme til Faderen uden at jeg drager dem.
We love him only because he loved us first.
Vi elsker ham kun fordi han elskede os først.
Isaiah 65, before they call, I will answer.
Isaiah 65, før de kalder, så vil jeg svare.
So God seeks us out. We don't choose him. We would never choose him. That's the way it is.
Gud opsøger os. Det er ikke os, der vælger ham. Vi vil aldrig bare i os selv vælge ham.
And then we see in verse 7 kind of, I think, our usual response.
Og så kommer i vers 7 vores normale respons.
So this is in response to Jesus asking him, "Do you want to be healed?"
Ja, som svar på Jesu spørgsmål, vil du være rask?
And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another one steps down before me."
Den syge svarede, "Herre, jeg har ikke et menneske til at hjælpe mig ned i dammen, når vandet er bragt i oprør, og mens jeg er på vej, når en anden i før mig."
So, whether or not it's true, the way that this is translated is saying that these people believed that this is what happened.
Ja. Så uanset om det her det er sandt, det er sådan det er forklaret, og det var det de her mennesker omkring poolen eller dammen troede.
Yeah, maybe there was a natural spring that, you know, bubbled up the water when there was no wind. Who knows?
Om der var en naturlig noget der gjorde at af og til så boblede vandet, det ved vi ikke.
But they believed.
Men de troede
that they would be healed if they went into this pool after an angel had stirred it up.
At hvis de hoppede ned i vandet, da det kom i bevægelse, så ville de blive helbredt for deres sygdom på grund af en engel, der skabte den her bevægelse i vandet.
And so that's what this guy is desperate for, right?
Og det er det, som den her fyr er desperat for.
And I think most of us, you know, when we really fervently turn to God.
Og flest af os, når vi af hjertet vender os til Gud,
there's some tragedy involved.
Så er der ofte noget tragedie involveret.
And you know, maybe Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, you know, that didn't work out.
Måske det med herr eller fru rigtigt i vores liv, det virkede ikke alligevel.
You know, illness.
Sygdom.
Job problems.
Job arbejdsproblemer.
You know, all the number of things that go wrong in our life, And then we turn to God for comfort.
Alle de ting der går galt i vores liv, og så vender vi os til Gud for trøst.
Our water, right?
Vores vand.
This water.
Det her vand.
And so when Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?"
Så da Jesus spørger, vil du være rask?
Oh, we're willing to partner with him.
Ja, det vil vi gerne. Altså, vi vil gerne være partner.
Yeah, if you could just get me, you know, to the water.
Hvis du bare kan få mig ned, hvis du kan få mig ned i vandet, så bliver jeg jo reddet.
You know, you can fix my workplace woes.
Ja, du kan fikse mine arbejdspladsproblemer.
You can heal my heart from that breakup.
Du kan hele mit hjerte fra det der smertefulde brud.
Just help me get into the water.
Bare hjælp mig ned i vandet.
A means to an end, right?
Ja, midlet til et mål.
No, Jesus said, I'm not taking you to the water. I am the water.
Men Jesus vil ikke bare tage ham til vandet. Jesus er vandet.
Get up.
Rejs dig og gå.
Yeah, we want to, you know, kind of pick and choose what we want from this, right?
Vi vil gerne ligesom vælge og vrage, hvad det er vi ønsker og ikke ønsker i det her.
And life is really hard. I get it.
Jeg forstår, at livet er hårdt.
You know, I have water in my life.
Jeg har vand i mit liv.
Things that I'm like, oh, if this were better, I would be saved.
Ja, hvis bare jeg det her ville være bedre, så ville jeg være reddet i mit liv.
I would finally be able to walk if this happened for me.
Så kunne jeg virkelig rigtig gå igen, hvis det her skete for mig.
But no, that's not what this picture says. That's not the sign that Jesus is trying to communicate.
Det er ikke hvad det her mirakel som tegn ønsker at kommunikere.
No, he comes to you.
Han kommer til dig.
He's the water.
Han er vandet.
And then immediately, like any situation ever, immediately there's controversy.
Og med det samme så er der kontrovers.
And this is so disappointing to me.
Og det er så skuffende for mig.
I love those miracles where, you know, there's a huge physical transformation and then there's a huge spiritual transformation and you get to see it.
For jeg elsker de beretninger hvor man bare der er sådan enkelt at man ser den mirakuløse fysiske forvandling som så leder til en åndelig indre forvandling.
Yes, you know, something that just brings somebody to this life-changing faith in Jesus their savior.
Ja. Sådan en mirakel der bare fører folk til den her livsforvandlende tro på Jesus.
And this guy goes in is a tattletale.
You're a tattletale.
Tells
on sladderhank. Yes. Men den her fyr, han er bare fortsat med at være en sladderhank.
Yeah, he's scared of the powers that be.
Han er bange for de store magter i samfundet.
And like my kids, anytime I ask them about anything.
Og ligesom mine børn, når jeg spørger dem om noget.
He did it.
Han gjorde det.
What are you doing carrying your mat?
Ja, hvad gør du med at bære på din madras?
Well, that guy told me to get up.
Ja, ham der, han sagde jeg skulle tage den og bære den.
What a wuss.
Ja, hvilken tøsedreng. Ja.
All right, 14.
Vers 14.
Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well."
Senere mødte Jesus ham på tempelpladsen og sagde til ham, "Nu er du blevet rask.
Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you."
Synd ikke mere, for at der ikke skal ske der noget værre.
So I don't really know what that means. The, you know, sin no more, so that nothing worse may happen to you.
Jeg ved ikke helt, hvad det betyder det her med synd ikke mere, for at det ikke skal ske der noget værre.
You know, because we don't know how he was injured.
Vi ved ikke, hvordan han blev skadet.
You know, maybe that's part of understanding what that sentence means.
Måske havde vi forstået mere, hvad den sætning betyder, hvis vi vidste lidt om baggrunden.
But Jesus here has given this man another chance to respond.
Men Jesus giver ham faktisk en anden chance for at respondere.
You know, he's given him the, you know, go and sin no more.
Gå og synd ikke mere.
I do care about your physical well-being.
Jesus siger, jeg interesserer mig for din fysiske velvære.
But I'm far more interested in your spiritual transformation and your reliance on me.
Men jeg er meget mere interesseret i din åndelige forvandling.
And this guy goes and tattles again.
Og så slader den her mand igen.
Ah, oh, you want to punch this guy.
Jeg har lyst til at slå den her fyr.
But this is normal.
Det her er normalt.
Right? Like I said.
Ja.
We don't like this.
Vi kan ikke lide det her.
You know, I think people have a misconception about the Bible.
Jeg tror, det er nemt at få for mennesker at få en misforståelse af Bibelen.
You know, like we have these superheroes.
Så vi har de her superhelte.
Like we've got Abraham, you know, Abraham, the father of our faith.
Troens stamfar.
We've got Moses.
Moses.
Samson. David. All these, you know, just warriors for God.
Som kæmper for Gud.
No, these guys are idiots.
Nej, de her fyre i virkeligheden, de er idioter.
Extremely flawed people.
Fuld af fejl.
You know, Abraham's a liar.
Abraham er en løgner.
David, Moses, murderers.
David, Moses, morder.
Noah, racist.
Noah, racist.
And then you got this guy, Mr. Tattletale.
Og så har vi den her sladderhank.
It's just more examples that we won't be worthy, right?
Det er bare mere en påmindelse om, at vi er ikke værdige.
We won't be able to live up to this worthiness that Christ is showing us.
Vi er ikke i stand til at leve op til den her det her høje standard, som Jesus viser foran os.
He did not live a perfect life so that we could match it.
Men Jesus levede ikke et perfekt liv, så vi kan matche det.
To then earn our worthiness.
Så vi så kan fortjene vores værdi og værdighed.
Now he did it because we can't.
Jesus levede sit perfekte liv, fordi vi ikke kan leve det.
So we need to internalize this.
Så vi må tage det ind.
And then in turn throw ourselves on the mercy of God.
Og kaste os på Guds nåde.
Where did I go? There. So this Sabbath controversy, right?
Så tager det tredje punkt, som er sabbats spørgsmålet.
So not allowed to carry stuff on the Sabbath. That's the rule the guy is breaking.
Yeah. Så der sabbatsreglen var bare var reglen som Jesus han bryder.
And you know, this guy's scared. They're gonna punish him.
Undskyld, den her mand, han er bange, fordi han er bange for at han bliver straffet for at bryde en af sabbatsreglerne ved at bære den her seng.
So that's why he tattles. He's scared of the powers that be.
Så han er bange for de religiøse magter i samfundet.
And then when they confront Jesus about this, why are you telling people to work on the Sabbath?
Sorry, say that again.
When they confront Jesus about it, why are you trying to convince people to work on the Sabbath?
Så når de så konfronterer Jesus og siger, hvorfor opmuntrer du folk til at arbejde på en sabbat?
It's Jesus like you don't understand the Sabbath.
Så forklarer Jesus, I forstår ikke en sabbaten.
It's not about these tiny little rules.
Det handler ikke om de her bitte små regler.
But what he says is even like way cooler than that.
Men det han egentlig siger, det er meget mere sejt end det.
So Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working."
Men Jesus sagde til dem, "Min far arbejder stadig, og jeg arbejder også."
So the rabbis would have understood that, you know, God doesn't rest; He maintains the world even on the Sabbath.
Yeah. Så jøderne ville have forstået, at og i deres egen teologi så forstår de også, at Gud, selvom der er hviledag for mennesker, så arbejder Gud stadig i verden.
So they have no problem with the idea that, you know, God does work on the Sabbath.
Så de har ikke noget problem med den tanke, at Gud arbejder på en sabbat.
And so Jesus is like, yeah, I know. My father's working. Yeah. I'm working. He's saying he and the Father are equal, are yeah. one. This is very controversial.
Så når han siger, min far arbejder stadig, og jeg arbejder også, så siger han, gør han sig lige med Gud, Faderen.
And they would have understood that that's what he's telling them. I am God.
Det vil jøderne have forstået.
But then it's still controversial in that he's kind of challenging this idea of the Sabbath.
Men det er kontroversielt også fordi at han udfordrer tanken bag sabbaten.
And the Sabbath is about physical rest, right?
Så sabbaten handler om fysisk hvile.
God created the world.
Gud skabte verden.
And then he rested.
Og så hvilede han den syvende dag.
But he didn't rest because he was tired, right?
Men han hvilede ikke fordi han var træt.
No, he was admiring his creation.
Han beundrede sit skaberværk.
He was embracing the joy of it.
Han omfavnede glæden ved skaberværket.
Which says that when we have a Sabbath, when we're resting physically,
og det betyder, når vi har en sabbat, en hviledag, og vi hviler fysisk,
it's pointing to something.
Så peger det mod noget.
It's pointing to spiritual rest.
Så peger det til mod den åndelige hvile.
So and this it always goes back to this idea where we think that we can work for our salvation.
Og det går tilbage til den der idé om at vi kan arbejde på vores frelse.
So I'm sure all of you are extremely hard workers.
Jeg er sikker på at I er alle sammen hårdt arbejdende mennesker.
And you know there's kind of two schools of thought about this. You know, some people work to, you know, honor their family, right?
Og der er ligesom to måder på at gå til arbejde på. Den ene arbejder for at ære deres familie.
I'm going to work so my parents are proud of me, my wife and my kids are provided for.
Jeg arbejder så at mine forældre er stolte af mig og at jeg sørger for min kone og min ægtefælle og mit barn.
Or there's, you know, maybe a more Western individualistic view, like I work for, you know, my self-esteem.
Eller den mere vestlige individualistiske tanke omkring arbejde, at jeg arbejder også for at skabe mening og også værdi for mig selv og selvværd.
You know, I work for it's my purpose. I found my purpose.
Mit arbejde er mit formål.
I really love the movie Rocky.
Jeg kan virkelig godt lide filmen Rocky.
Yeah, and there's that scene where he's talking to Adrian, and she's like, "You don't think you're gonna win, right?"
Rocky, han taler med Adrian, og hun siger, "Du regner med at vinde, ikke også?"
He goes, "No, I just want to see if I can go the distance."
Og han siger, "Nej, jeg vil bare lige se, om jeg kan stå på mål eller gå distancen."
You know, so I don't feel like a bum.
Så jeg ikke føler mig som en bums.
Another good sports movie, Chariots of Fire.
En anden god film, Chariots of Fire.
The lead character Harold, he says, it's about running. If you've ever seen the movie,
det handler om at løbe til olympiske lege.
He says, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence.
Og det er jo en 100 meter løb, så siger han, jeg har 10 sekunder til at retfærdiggøre min eksistens.
All that water.
Alt det vand.
You know, that's why we work.
Det er derfor vi arbejder.
And we need the rest, right?
Og vi har brug for at hvile fra det, fordi vi arbejder så hårdt.
We are working so hard to save ourselves.
Vi arbejder så hårdt for at redde os selv.
Yeah, so you have, you know, the actual work that you do, the labor.
Yeah. Så du har det der faktiske, praktiske arbejde.
And then you have the work under the work.
Så har du arbejdet under arbejde.
I work so that I can show myself I can do it.
Jeg arbejder så jeg kan vise at jeg kan gøre det.
So I can honor my family.
Så jeg kan ære min familie.
So where the Sabbath is representing physical rest.
Så vores sabbaten repræsenterer fysisk hvile.
But also spiritual rest.
Men også åndelig hvile.
We don't need to do the work.
Vi har ikke brug for at gøre arbejdet.
The work is finished.
Arbejdet er fuldbragt allerede.
Because we can't do the work.
Fordi vi kan ikke i os selv,
right?
Gøre det arbejde.
Yeah, Jesus did the work.
Fordi men Jesus har allerede gjort arbejdet.
He lived a perfect life because we can't.
Han levede det fuldkomne liv, fordi vi ikke kan.
And then he died for our sins.
Og så døde han for vores synder.
So that we could be in relationship with the Father.
Så vi kan være i et forhold med Faderen.
And all of this, that's what it's pointing to.
Det er det, som alt det her peger hen imod.
The miracle, the controversy, the Sabbath.
Miraklet, kontroverset, sabbaten.
It's all pointing to the good news that we have a Savior.
Det alt sammen peger mod de gode nyheder om, at vi har en frelser, en livredder.
Yeah, it's a great story. So
det er en dejlig historie.
I might have went long. Sorry.
Jeg har gjort det langt.
But I'll pray real quick.
Lad os bede sammen.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Kære himmelske far.
We're not worthy.
Vi er ikke værdige.
We can't earn our salvation.
Vi kan ikke fortjene vores frelse.
We can't work enough.
Vi kan ikke arbejde nok.
We can't be good enough.
Vi er ikke gode nok.
We're not looking for you, Lord.
Vi søger ikke egentlig efter dig, Gud.
But you come to us.
Men du kommer til os.
Come to us with a promise.
Du kommer til os med et løfte.
That we are saved.
At vi er reddet.
By your son's work.
At din søns arbejde.
The work that he finished on the cross.
Det arbejde han fuldførte på korset.
And I pray these things in your son's name.
Vi beder det i din søns navn.
Amen.
Amen.